This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. It's becoming harder and harder to get up here and keep a straight face. It's becoming harder to walk down the street and keep a straight face. It's harder to go to work. Harder to stay at home with your kids. It's hard to do anything. and be focused and feel engaged in anything that we do. As we just watch this death count climb, as if there's no end to it. As if there's no end to it. We walk in here today after three hospitals were just bombed. Around 300 people, most of them people who are sick, would pass and be martyred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah accept them. And I don't know what else I can say up here at this point that will offer you any comfort. But I have another 5 points I want to share with you. Something to contemplate or reflect upon. As we see what occurs in Gaza, the unprecedented amount of barbarianism that we are witnessing, the world is fiddling their thumbs watching it, something we've never seen before. And our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan are dealing with an earthquake almost completely ignored as the world is focused on this one problem. And God knows how many other acts of oppression are occurring elsewhere that we have just hasn't reached the importance that the media will actually share it with us. So the first point I want to share with you is, well, why is all of this happening? Because this must come to some people's minds. Maybe many of you ask, why is this going on? Why is this occurring? Why? In a philosophical meaning, as in why, not as in explaining the political background for why or explaining the intricacies of the scientific hows. Or no, why? Why is this occurring? Why is it getting so difficult and so dark and so hard? Sometimes wake-up calls are harsh. Sometimes wake-up calls can be really harsh. They can be very painful. Those who are sleeping at the driver in the driver's seat at the... Sometimes a harsh wake-up call is needed. Those who are stuck in their bubbles or living their lives focused on issues of trivial importance, sometimes a harsh wake-up call is what is required. And it's there to serve a purpose, to make sure the person wakes up. And that's what this is. This is a wake-up call for a generation of human beings. It's a wake-up call. And since it's a wake-up call, then we must wake up. We must wake up. In the darkest of moments, you find yourself. You find your calling. When it becomes very dark and very painful, that is when you find what you're here to do. We're seeing a lot of bravery today. We're seeing a lot of courage amongst Muslim people in the West. People are losing their jobs, people who are losing their status, people who are being targeted. Because I believe that most of us are starting to find our voice. Finding your voice is important. Wake-up calls do exactly that. They come to a group of people that are just cruising along, just getting comfortable in their lifestyles, comfortable with their little plans for what's going to come next in the next couple of decades, when that's not what they're here to do. When that was never their purpose. And that's not what life is about. And you can be left for a while to figure it out, and then you don't. And then a wake-up call comes. And it can be sometimes harsh, as this one for sure is. But it's harsh for a reason. So that we may never forget. So that we truly, profoundly, and sincerely wake up and understand that there's more to our lives than maybe what we were thinking our lives were going to be about to begin with. It's moments like these that you have the opportunity. And yes, I use that term. It's an opportunity for you to change your life. May you be 15 or 85. It's moments like these that come throughout time to offer people an opportunity to change their lives, to make some decisions that are difficult to make but are meaningful, so that you may continue whatever journey you have left, may it be long or short, walking a path that has purpose to it. And that's why these things occur. That's why stuff like this happen. Whether it may be man-made or natural disasters, they're there for that one purpose and one reason. So may it not be in vain. May their suffering not be in vain while we continue to wait for it to finish so we can just go back to what we were doing before it began. That is the fear, wallahi, that's the fear. the fear is in 2 months or three or whatever, this becomes a distant memory and we're back to just focus. We're back to the trivial issues that don't matter. Number two. Number one, why? Number two, long-term work. See, every ummah, for a crisis, for any given crisis, there are two things. There's the short-term work, and then there's the long-term work. The short-term work, which inshallah you will continue to do. You will continue to email. You will continue to go on rallies and protesting. You will continue to make phone calls. You will continue to voice your concerns and participate in social media. You will boycott. You will do whatever it is that you have within your strength and within your power to do. You'll follow local advocacy groups like Hikmah or NCCM are putting out there. We'll do whatever it is that they think we should do. This is the short-term solution. We try to do something short-term to stop what's happening, to get a ceasefire, to make sure that the blood count does not continue to rise. That's the short-term plan. Of course, we all have to be a part of that. None of us are excused for not being a part of a short-term plan, short-term efforts to make sure that we make a difference. But really, it's about the long-term plan. It's the long-term work that will make the difference here. You see, what we are reaping today is what was sown 30 years ago. What we're reaping today is what was sown 30 years ago. You are not responsible, especially if you're not responsible for what's happening right now directly. Because this was put into motion a long time ago. This was inevitable to happen. But in 30 years, they will reap whatever we sow today. They will reap whatever we sow today. Whatever we do today will affect whether it's 30 years from now when most of us are not here and I'm too old to do. Does the khatib have to get up and say the same stuff and complain about the same problem and mourn the same number of people? Or will it be a different reality? It's the long-term work that matters, not the short-term work. As important as the short-term work is, I'm not trying to dismiss it. But the long-term work, unfortunately, is unattractive. It's unattractive. It's boring. And it's not fun. And it's not flashy. And it doesn't make the news. When I walk into Masajid and I see a gentleman or an older lady sitting in a corner somewhere with a couple of kids teaching them, I say, that's where this is coming. That's where it will come from. That's where the change will come from that little person who's sitting there, just doing their role, doing their best, trying to educate and raise awareness and make sure that there's something coming down the pipeline to make sure that the future is not going to be like the present. But no one likes doing that piece. I'm not saying everyone should come and sit and teach kids in a masjid. But are you understanding what I'm trying to say? It's about the long-term effort. People come to masajid when there's a crisis and they get upset when there's a crisis and they get emotional when there's a crisis. But then when the crisis is gone, you can barely find anyone to do anything anymore. We can't find people to do stuff outside of times of crisis. During times of crisis, we are bombarded with ideas and suggestions and acts and events. And then when it's done, everyone just goes on with their life. That's not how you solve these things. It's the long-term investment. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't live long enough. Did you ever think about that? He never lived long enough to see what the consequences of what he did. He passed away before it. Sometimes we study a seerah, we don't realize that piece. When he passed away, Islam was just in parts of Arabia and Yemen. It was only 30 years later. During the time of Uthman, where it was covering three or four continents. That's when the fruits were clear, were born. He didn't see it. He was okay with that. He was always okay with that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No problem. I'll do my work. He knew it was coming. Because he understands how the world works. He understands that you put in those hours and you work for the long-term goal, and you may pass away before you actually see it. Maybe even your children will too, as long as they have the same mentality. It'll come. The long-term effort. Number three, the long-term advocacy. Specifically for this. Long-term effort in general for this ummah's status. For this ummah's struggle. But long-term advocacy. They want to bomb hospitals and kill children. All right. For every child you kill, we will make sure another one here is properly educated to speak on his behalf. For every young woman, for every young man, and for every elderly person that you bury under the rubble, we will make sure another one will pop up here to speak on their behalf and be their voice and advocate for their cause and make sure that their blood will not be forgotten. That is how you advocate long term. That's how you, because we are one big family, aren't we? Isn't that what it means to be an ummah? We're one big family. So my son over there passed away. I'll make sure my one over here never forgets his brother who passed away there and will speak for him till the day he passes. And every time they kill someone there, someone here will speak on their behalf. And we will educate and we will advocate. We will make sure that they are prepared and make sure that they are taken care of so they can do what they're going to do in the future. So they can be their voice, so they can move this needle, so they can change the reality. That is long-term advocacy. And that is what we have to focus on. Because maybe right now we don't have the, do you have the ability? Do you control the sky? Do you control the winds? Are you able, what are you able to control to stop the blood count? Yeah, I didn't think so. Neither am I. I can't either. There's nothing I would want more. Just so we can sleep. Just so we can sleep. Just for a moment, just stop, so we can sleep. But we can't. So it's the long-term work then. It's going to be the long-term work in the long-term advocacy. Number four, our youth. That is where hope is. That is why I do what I do. That's why I do it. Because I've always been a pessimist. Just naturally speaking, this is how I am built. I just don't. Working with youth is the only thing that gives you a little bit of hope. Because you look at each one of them, you say, you never know who has the potential of being the one who will make the difference. They need to be protected in their schools. They need to be protected in their universities. They need to be protected and advocated for. And they cannot be left alone. And they cannot be left in an environment where they're discriminated against, where they are being targeted. This is our obligation in this city and as an ummah to make sure our youth are equipped with the skill set, with the knowledge, with the proper preparation and the protection so that they can become who they are destined to become. And this is our obligation in the city to make sure that our children and their schools and their universities and their colleges, that they are protected and they are equipped because they are the hope. You ever hear the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Ahmad, when he talks about, you know this hadith, everyone here has heard it before. The aqamat as-sa'a, when the time of the day of judgment comes. And you feel like this yawm al-qiyam is starting and you have a small tree in your hand. Then make sure before yawm al-qiyam happens that you put it in the ground and you prepare it. Prepare it. Well, why? What could possibly be the point of doing that? Because it's all about that hope. It's all about that. It's all about that seed, about that youth, and what they can do. And it's not your business or mine to dictate whether it's going to be worth anything or not, whether it's going to add up to anything or not, whether there's hope or there's always hope. That's the Islamic mentality. You have it, you put it in the ground, but there's no, put it in the ground. Just do your job. Just take care of whom you need to take care of. Our youth had to be protected. And I'm saying that here because as we watch, more and more people in schools and universities are being targeted. And I can't have our youth start feeling unsafe or wanting not to voice their concerns or wanting to hide their identities. That's not okay. And that has to be dealt with. Number five, and this is just a practical piece of advice for all of us. Beware during these days. Be careful. What does oppression, ongoing oppression do? Ongoing unopposed oppression that is surrounded by hypocrisy and lies, making the oppressed feel that not only are they being oppressed, but they're wrong as well, and they're evil. That provokes anger. It provokes anger. It's one thing for you to take away something that's not mine. It's another thing for you to tell everyone that you didn't and make me admit that you didn't. That's a whole different story. At least if we can at least be clear about things, that honesty goes a long way. But when oppression is actually manipulating the narrative. So now the oppressed are seeming evil and the oppressors are seeming... That becomes one step too far. So it can provoke anger. Do not allow it to provoke anger in you. We have to be careful. We cannot make mistakes. We can't afford at this time to make mistakes. You want to make a difference? We have to do this right. We have to take the right steps, and we have to do it in a way where we're working as a group and not allow anger to dictate how we're going to behave and not go out and do something rogue and cause a... No. That's all that will be focused on. You know that. All it takes is one person, one Muslim, say one wrong thing, and that becomes the center of attention. 9,000 people dead under the rubble. No, it doesn't matter. 3,372 children dead. That doesn't matter. This person said this. Because when it's based on lies, it's based on lies. So be careful and be wise. Continue to advocate. Continue to speak your mind. Continue to speak the truth, but be wise about it. And be careful and consult. And consult those who have more knowledge than you. And consult those who have something to offer you and help you out so you can make the right decision. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي, لا أدري ما الذي أستطيع مشاركتكم إياه, لكننا اليوم نزرع حصاد الأمس وسيزرعون غدا حصادنا وسيحصدون غدا زرعنا. نحن اليوم نعيش ما قامت به الأجيال الأولى مما لم تقترفه أيدينا, هو قدر من أقدار الله يسير فينا شئنا أم أبينا, رضينا أم كرهنا, ولكننا قادرون على تقديم شيء لجيل قادم حتى لا يقف أحدهم مثل موقفي هذا ولا يجلس أحدهم مثل مجلسكم هذا يتحدثون عن مسألة مشابهة لهذه. وسبحان الله, أنا لم أنظم الشعر منذ 10 سنوات منذ تركت سوريا, ما لم أستطع إلا عند ولادة ولدي. وفتحت قريحتي البارحة ونظمت ما أردت قوله اليوم, فإذا سمحتم لي, الترجمة لن تكون مجدية, أصلاً الترجمة غير مفيدة, لكن أشارككم كلمات لعلها يكون فيها نفع. إني على أمل في قادم حسن نطوي به صفحة الآلام والمحن, فتح تسر قلوب المؤمنين به, شمس تنير ظلام الفائت الحزن, نور يضيء من الأقصى إلى حلب, فجر يشق سماء الشام واليمن, روح تنفس من أرض الفرات إلى أنهار مصر وفيها موضع الرسن. يا أمة لم تمت بالرغم من سنة, عما قريب ستلقي كسوة الوهن, نامت ضمائرنا عن كل مظلمة واستيقظت غزة من غفلة الوسن, من عمق كربتنا فاستخرجت أملا, والسر مهما طوى لا بد للعلن. ما دام باطلهم, ما دام باطلهم لو كان ذا أمد, يوما يزول كأن بالأمس لم يكن, إن الظلوم له أعوانه, فإذا لم تستطع نصرة المظلوم لا تعني. يأبى العزيز سكوتا خانعا, فإذا لم تستطع قول لا بالحق لا تهني. ولا تؤمل من الحكام منفعة, لا خير في من شرى دنياه بالوطن, سلطاننا مدمن حكم الشعوب, فإن وافته ساعته يحكم من الكفن. تجري الرياح وما من شهوة بقيت, لا تغترر بكلام الريح والسفن. جيل الشباب, جيل الشباب له بشرى النبي, فمن رام العلا لم يخف من باهظ الثمن. نبني معا لنرى الأقصى يعود, فلا نامت عيون جبان خائن عفن. آمالنا لم تزل آمالنا لم تزل آمال مرتقب في جيلهم, نهضت التطهير للنتن. يا ربي أيقظ قلوب الغافلين بهم, واحقن دماء وفرج سائر الفتن, واعلموا أن الله أمرنا بأمر عظيم فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين واحقن دماء المسلمين في فلسطين وفي أفغانستان وفي غيرها من بلاد الأرض يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى وما حولها اللهم رده إلينا في العاجل القريب برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحا طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون As the time will change on Sunday, the Jumu'ah at 2:30 becomes difficult because Asr becomes too close, so we make it 1:45. Now, I'm going to plant this seed for the coming, for maybe next year. As in the city, you know, we pray Jumu'ah in many masajid before time. They pray at 12 o'clock sometimes and even earlier. Why? Because the Hanabila have within their madhab a certain opinion that allows for that. The Malikiya have within their madhab also an opinion that allows for Jumu'ah to be later, meaning for it to be after Salat al-Asr anytime before Maghrib. So just like we use that one, we should at some point in the future as a community be able to use the other one, specifically when it offers a service to people who can't leave their work on time and want to attend a community-based Jumu'ah. So it's something to think about. I'm not going to do it this year. Too much is happening, so I'm not going to talk about that. We're going to go 1:45 starting next week. 1:45 is the latest I can make it so that we don't end up running into Asr throughout the winter. But it's something to talk about, inshallah, for next summer and next year, inshallah ta'ala.